south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Here's a question for you, and people are asking me this all the time. They say, Johnny, there's a good chance that Florida Governor DeSantis is going to run for president and actually get elected. If that happens, will it help? Will the situation get better? Well, here's my take on it. For all you optimistic dreamers, if you think that if you vote in DeSantis or some other so-called political savior, that there will be a sudden epidemic of good government, well, that's a total impossibility. These days, there's no such thing as good government. It's all corrupt and malignant. All you can hope for is that he can slow down the seepage of sewage into the national water supply, since the national water supply, so to speak, is already permanently contaminated and polluted. In other words, the train's out of control, it's going off the cliff, but maybe DeSantis will slow it down a bit. So then what's the public supposed to think? The public's on that train and go along with any way the sewage flows. Shepherds will change, but sheep remain sheep. Hey, now there's a catchy phrase. Somebody should make t-shirts out of that. I'd wear one. I don't know if I made that one up. Shakespeare said it or it's in the Bible. Sounds way too clever for me to have thought of it. Anyway, you know, sometimes I forget to mention on the show here obvious cases of the gringo advantage. Though, like I said, the farther you are off the gringo tourist trail, the more that advantage kicks in. Though, sometimes when you're on or very near the gringo tourist trail, you'll think you've got the gringo advantage. But all it really is some Latino guy or gal patronizing you, hoping to gain some advantage or get over on you. You know, like that old song, The Backstabbers, they smile in your face all the time they want to take your place. You see that all the time with upper middle class and wealthy Latinos who try so hard to prove they're not like the common rabble. You know the type. Well, if you're down here long enough, you'll know the type. Those extreme gringo wannabes that are not competing with us. No way. We just think they're laughable. They don't impress us in the least. In fact, sometimes we're embarrassed for them. In actuality, they're competing with other gringo wannabes. It's funny and sometimes sad to watch. Like, for example, when you get invited to an upscale Latino party, and the Latinos there try to out-my-jammy each other, always name-dropping people and places they've visited in the States, making it known they buy a lot of junk on Amazon, always managing to queue up English-language gringo songs on the stereo, stuff like that. I call it trying to out-my-jammy each other. Oh, yeah. And their social media pages like Fakebook are absurd, just loaded with photos and references to everything American and gringo. So they're subtly or not so subtly telling the world, if you want to analyze it, that they'd much rather be a first world gringo than a Latino. In fact, any analyst worth his salt will tell you they're practically broadcasting that their own culture is second rate. Now get this, one Latina friend of mine who is a psychologist here in Latin America, she says it's funny or rather odd that Latinos who enter the U.S. illegally, they hold on to their Latino culture, the foods, the dress, their attitudes and customs. Meanwhile, upscale Latinos, educated Latinos who enter the U.S. legally, they're the ones that tend to reject their own culture and habits. They want nothing to do with and want no association with the sweaty masses that sneak in. In fact, they are truly embarrassed if you bring it up, as if they come from a different planet. Even if some of their own family members are lower class and snuck into the States illegally, they distance themselves from those relatives as if they were untouchables. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating and don't believe it, come on down and talk to the locals yourself. But they're not going to fess up to you unless you speak pretty good Spanish. The fact is there's a big personal and cultural division between Latinos who go back and forth to the States legally and those who have to sneak in. There's quite a big social and educational gap there, too. Funny thing, too, there have been polls of Latinos who go back and forth legally to the States. They all want the U.S. to build a wall. And the ones who don't qualify to come in legally, they all want the wall torn down. They love Biden, too, because they think he's for open borders. There's a big class division there. But I digress as usual. We're talking about the gringo advantage and how it often shows up and yet never gets commented on. For example, every time I go to Costco, which is Price Mart down here in Latin America, there's something subtle that happens. You know, when you're pushing your cart out the door with a basket full of goodies, and there's someone always standing there checking your receipt before you can head out to the parking lot. You know, making sure you don't have a case of sticky fingers. Now, here's something you'll notice if you bother paying attention. When the person checking your receipt sees you're a gringo, he'll barely give you a once-over. He'll just check your receipt and give you a smile and you're off. In fact, I've had situations where I've had boxes full of stuff, and the guy or gal checking receipts didn't even give it a look, just passed me on through. Even though the Latino customer in front and behind me got a TSA-style shakedown. Stranger yet, and it does make some sense. A guy like me, or any gringo, male gringo, gets treated to an even lighter hand when it's a lady checking out your receipt. That, as opposed to a Latino guy checking out a male gringo's receipt as he passes through. I noticed sometimes the ladies won't even look in my basket at all and just pass me on through. And the guys, they might check out your receipt a couple seconds longer, but they won't poke through your bags and boxes to make a tally. But man, like I said, they'll give Latino and Latina customers the once-over. By the way, if you ever want to see a conglomeration of upscale gringo wannabes, go to Costco, which is, again, price marked down here. For example, I don't think I've ever been in one of those places where I have not seen a short, dark-skinned maid, cleaning lady, or nanny pushing a shopping cart alongside her taller, lighter-skinned, perfectly manicured, blinged-out Latina boss lady head of the house. And the mama rica, the rich mama, often does double duty, gabbing on the phone and pointing at items for her maid or cleaning lady to retrieve. Oh, and if you keep your eyes open, you'll notice in the parking lot, plenty of late-model SUVs and the occasional bodyguard in a cheap suit, trying to appear as up to the task as their room temperature IQs will allow. The task being to get noticed, to put on a show for the other upscale Latinos. It's all about the show. The problem is, when new, fresh, green gringos get down here and they go to an upscale mall, a restaurant, or a Costco, when they see a couple of bodyguards helping someone into a big black Tahoe with black-tinted windows, it scares them a bit. The first thing they think is, it sure must be dangerous down here in Latin America. Funny thing, though. In all my years down here, I've never met a single gringo or even heard of one that's ever been kidnapped. And I don't know a single gringo or expat who's ever had a bodyguard. I'm talking about south of the border now. There are kidnappings and attempted kidnappings of gringos and expats in Mexico. And most of that stuff goes unreported. They just pay the ransom and get the kid or the wife back. That's part of the deal, to keep your mouth shut and don't go to the press. And never broadcast it on anti-social media. Funny thing, too, because anti-social media is exactly how the bad guys home in on their potential victims. So, once again, let me repeat. I know of no gringo or expat who's ever been kidnapped south of the border. That means south of Mexico. And don't you think after 30-plus years down here in Latin America and all the gringos and expats I've met and have spoken to on and off the record and all the thousands of emails I've gotten from expats and gringos, still, not a hint of any kidnappings, except in one particular case, and it wasn't even successful. In any event, it was my gringo friend's own fault. I'll get to that story in a second. Anyway, even though all the time I've been down here in Latin America, there's only that one case, and it was unsuccessful, I still get emails from people every so often, especially emails from gonna-be and wanna-be female expats. They're worried about coming down because they've heard on the internet or on fake news media that gringos and expats get kidnapped. They do, in Mexico, but that's about it. In fact, I just got an email from a worried expat gonna-be wannabe yesterday. From a female, of course. 99% of those kind of emails come from females, which is perfectly logical, of course. They are the weaker sex, right? Oh no, I just blasphemed. Cancel me, why don't you? Wait a minute, Johnny, you've gone too far. Well, sorry, I won't take it back. I don't know about you, but I try to think logically, at least most of the time, especially going to engineering school. You know, just the facts, ma'am. And the facts are as follows. Bad guys and no good nicks would rather pick on a woman than a man any day, in any culture or society. Ask any criminal. They'd rather rob or assault a woman over a man, for a lot of reasons. Not the least of which being, on average, women are physically weaker than men. You knew that already, right? But you can't say it in public or on the net where you come from or you'd get canceled. Maybe even lose your job. You anti-vax Nazi Trumper, you. Now, where were we? Oh yeah. As far as that foiled kidnap attempt, the only one I know about. My American buddy, an expat gringo who's been down here 20-something years now, he's a geologist who struck it big in the oil business. He came down here in his early 40s after a bad divorce up in the States. Wasn't rich at all when he first came down, just working for the man. Anyway, a few years later, when he did strike it rich, he ended up marrying his young Latina secretary. And it didn't take long for her to turn into an extreme gringo wannabe, and they had the money to do it now. Beach houses, sports cars, shopping trips back and forth to my jammy every season. Anyway, like so many wealthy expat gringos seem to do, when they hook up with a young Latina, they give her everything and thus create a monster. He turned a poor, beautiful girl who grew up barefoot in a barrio into a woman I last saw in an upscale shopping mall with two bodyguards, each one carrying her most recent purchases. Now, that was a couple of years ago, before the COVIDia thing. In fact, the whole situation seemed so ridiculous and rubbed me the wrong way. He and I, who used to be pretty good buddies, fell out of touch for about 4 or 5 years. That happens, you know, sometimes when you get invited to parties and you don't show up. Eventually, they don't invite you anymore. Story of my life. Anyway, they had a daughter and sent her to the most expensive helicopter schools in Guatemala. And as it turns out, when she was 12 or 13 years old, she was in one of the big black SUVs with the bodyguard, gassing up at a Shell station. When a car with a couple of bad guys in it pulled up and tried to yank her out of the SUV, there was a scuffle and confusion. She got away. After that, my buddy hired some firm to investigate the incident. They found out, after polygraphing the help and the bodyguards, it was an inside job. Surprise, surprise, who'd have thunk? In fact, he said it was obvious since one of the bodyguards never showed up for his polygraph. He disappeared. All I could think of while all that was going down was that my buddy created that situation, made himself and his family a target. Now get this, he's the only gringo I ever knew who had his own bodyguards and the only one to suffer a near kidnapping incident. He's one of those smart guys who's also an idiot. Fact is, I know gringos here in Latin America who are worth millions and don't have bodyguards. Meanwhile, you've got hundreds of pretentious, show-off Latin American guys who have nice cars, houses, send their kids to helicopter schools, but don't have a dime in the bank. All they have is debts. Yet they've got cleaning ladies, maintenance guys, and bodyguards. And the cops down here, not that you'd ever want to go to the cops for anything, because they're totally ineffective. Even so, they'll admit when there's a robbery in an upscale person's house or an attempted kidnapping, whatever. 90% of the time, it's an inside job. And when it comes to pure kidnapping, it's almost always somehow connected to one or two of the underpaid bodyguards who know the boss and the boss's family's every move. Oh, and did I tell you my buddy did not have a personal bodyguard himself? He had one for his wife and his kid. He didn't want one. He told me the only reason he did get bodyguards for the family was that his wife nagged him and begged him for one, and then another for the daughter. After all, many of the kids at the most expensive helicopter school she went to had their own bodyguards. If the family was rich and the kid didn't have one, what would the neighbors think? Yeah, I know, it's pretty sickening, but that's life in the extreme gringo wannabe wealthy classes here in Latin America. Though, I repeat once again, there are some good kids that come out of those families. Quite a few, actually, but they seem to have no drive or ambition. Worse yet, no curiosity. I mean about how the world works, how things work in general. In fact, one entitled rich kid I called out for being on his phone all the time. I said, don't you ever read an article or a book? He said when he was on his phone, he's learning things all the time. To which I said, is that right? How about let's bet on it? Because that you'll have to prove to me. I said something like 95% of the crap you see on Instacrap, TikTok, and Facebook are people doing crazy, funny, entertaining things to get their 15 minutes of fame. I said, I sure as hell don't use that stuff, but I know it's an addiction. It's all about showing off to your friends, one-upping them. I said, you're addicted to the dopamine hit you get from likes. Not your fault, it's just part of Big Tech's plan. And his reply to me? He called me a faded, rusted-out old dinosaur of a baby boomer. Could be, he wasn't as dumb as he looked. I was actually pretty surprised he had those words in his vocabulary. Maybe, to give credit where credit is due, being online all day does increase your vocabulary, if anything. The exception being rappers and reggaetoneros. The thing is, during that whole conversation, he did not look up once from his screen. Bottom line, it really is a brave new world that ain't so brave. But where were we? Oh yeah, talking about those entitled Latino children of the rich. As for me, I know quite a few of them. Not so many teenagers, but a lot of 20-somethings. I've been in some rock and roll bands with some very talented children of the rich. they did have enough drive and ambition to learn their instrument really well. But only one of those guys, of the maybe 10 or so Latino musicians I've played with over the years, would I ever personally hire if I had a business looking for employees. The other guys, though they were nice guys, were just the type that were waiting for people to do things for them. Because, hell, they all had cleaning ladies and nannies picking up after them all the time. Man, when you grow up like that and you're confronted with the real world, and a lot of these guys are never confronted with the real world because there's always daddy's connections and daddy's money safety net. Though, oddly enough, I know lots of wealthy gringo expats. Some who came down with pretty much nothing but their drive and their brains. And when they made it, they sent their kids to those expensive helicopter schools too, and their kids turned out pretty well. Though I have seen a disturbing trend. When my gringo friends marry a Latina, or vice versa, when a gringa friend marries a Latino, when they have a kid or kids, they always end up going to an expensive helicopter bilingual school. After all, everyone wants their kid to have a leg up. The thing is, when an American and a Latino or Latina couple up, there's always a very high probability that the Latino or Latina half comes from the barrio or the lower classes and, just by luck, won the marriage lottery. The problematic and disturbing thing I'm referring to is that, let's say the mother was lower class Latina from a barrio. Well, compared to the kids on her side of the family, her half gringo kid will be super entitled. And all her family members will know that. Latino families are very tight and social, so yes. The couple and the kid, of course, will get invited to all the family get-togethers, Sunday dinners at grandma's house, etc. And when that half-gringo cousin of theirs shows up with his $800 iPhone, nice new brand label clothes, and his or her stories about their latest trip to Miami or Disney World, there'll be a noticeably large cultural divide. Soon enough, it won't take long, the half-gringo kid will balk at those visits to grandma and the poor folk relatives. I've seen it happen. That side of the family will sooner or later become an embarrassment to him. Not because they're Latino, the kids they hang around with at their helicopter school are all Latinos, but because they're poor Latinos. In fact, it's a very prominent theme in TV soap operas here. The longer you're down here, the more you'll pick up on the fact that it's a very classist society. Very racist, too. But you won't get far with that argument if you ever bring it up to a first world person. Since we all know, and the woke people tell us over and over again, that the only culture that can be racist are those nasty white people. All right, moving on. Did you ever wonder what Latinos, intelligent Latinos, living down here in Latin America, really think about us? Well, I can tell you this. It all depends on if you live on or off the gringo trail. Since it's a given, the more we pile in, the more we wear out our welcome and destroy our own gringo advantage. That said, here's part of a letter written by a Latino who lived in America for quite a while. He was an anthropology professor up there and retired and moved back down to where he was born in Cuenca, Ecuador. Once again, I'll paraphrase this to cut out the boring parts. He says, a couple of years ago, a recently arrived expat who I'd only met a few days earlier asked if I could arrange a meeting for him with the president of the country, no less. Back then, the president was Rafael Correa, who today is a fugitive on the lam. The gringo thought because I was bilingual and working on a government project that I knew the president somehow. But I didn't, though I was curious and asked the gringo why. Well, he said he wanted to talk to him about the Cuenca, Ecuador bus system, that it was being run all wrong, that the buses were not properly maintained and needed to use propane gas or battery power instead of stinky diesel. He wanted to tell the president that the drivers were not well-skilled or cautious and they were trained to low standards. They had terrible customer service skills and that the routes and schedules of the buses were not logically planned at all. He said he wanted to tell the president just how to properly integrate the new tram system with the buses. He wanted to tell him about how they ran the system back in his hometown in Massachusetts. Then he says, in talking to this expat a bit more, he discovered that the guy had no idea how governments in Ecuador are organized. Turns out he didn't know much about Ecuador's government at all and didn't know the difference between a parish, a canton, or a province, or even who owned or operated the bus system. Then he says, there is a certain cross-cultural phenomena I've observed frequently in Ecuador's expat community. He says, I'm amazed how quickly newcomers size up things in Ecuador. They make judgments in no uncertain terms. All the things that need to be fixed. It's become a major topic at gringo gatherings. They talk about it on all the gringo expat fake book sites too. They always seem to start out something like this. I'm appalled. Something needs to be done about the graffiti, the potholes, late-night concerts, fireworks, crime, chicken buses, barking dogs, car alarms, traffic, gringo prices, construction practices, you name it. Gringos complain about it and have a fix for it. No matter how things are done, it's an irritant to gringos and expats. And there is an expat with an answer, even though he usually cannot explain it in Spanish. Then he says, on the rare occasion when I have time to waste and I tune in on gringo internet expat forums, I find them just overflowing with the righteous indignation of those who know how things should work in Ecuador, but for some reason don't. Then he says, I know that these so-called expat fixers are overwhelmingly older men from the U.S., most of them arrogant, angry, and egotistical. He says, I think they're just in-your-face loudmouths who I make a point to ignore. It seems ironic to me, he says, that people whose dream retirement has finally arrived, they're unable to put aside the impulse to run other people's lives and simply relax. And then, at the point when they finally find themselves living in the so-called promised land, they can't wait to remake it according to their own U.S. expectations. Anyway, that's the gist of it. It continues for a while. You get the idea. So then what's my take on it? Well, you have to remember, the guy who wrote this is an educated Latino watching his country getting overrun by gringos. And, you know, gringos and expats who come on down permanently always try to put their stamp on things. We want to change things, all right, but we're not big on cultural assimilation nor learning the Spanish language. So I think he's right about that. We've got no right to complain until we learn the language. It is funny, though, when I talk to Latinos who've been up in the States and deported, most of them are. Though not all, you know, upscale Latinos go back and forth. Anyway, it seems to me they've only got two real complaints about the States. Maybe three. Can you guess? Number one, it's too expensive. Number two, there are too many rules and they're way too strict about them. And number three, and this only applies to the northern states in Canada, it's too cold. Then again, it seems like every gringo and expat with a plan B here in Latin America has those same three complaints in their top 10 of complaints about the United States and Canada. That's not all, though. They've got a ton of other complaints to boot. Let's face it, you don't ditch your life for a plan B in Latin America just because it's a little too cold up there. We all have a nice big list of reasons why we got the hell out of Dodge. The thing is, though, most gringos and expats go through stages, and one of those stages is the complaint stage. When we first get that plan B going and land, we've got the rose-colored glasses on, and within that first 6 months, everything's new, different, exciting, and energizing. Sure, you end up in lots of lines, spinning your wheels, getting stuck in mañana time and all that. But the newness and excitement of the experience pretty much cancels it out. Then, after 6 months or so, a new kind of reality sets in. A lot of things just aren't going right. You gotta file new papers for a residency because the old one's timed out. Or could be your lawyer dropped a ball or missed a few signatures in that giant ream of paperwork at 17 different government offices. Suddenly, those quaint chicken buses blowing their horns and laying down a smokescreen at 6 a.m. right out in front of your door aren't so picturesque and charming anymore. And it's at that time, about 6 months in, when you end up at gringo gatherings and people ask you, how's it going? Out comes that litany of complaints. You'll find no shortage of gringos and expats to chime in with you, too. That gringo complaint phase can be short or very long. And pretty much dissipates completely once a person's learned his Spanish well enough. I don't know why that correlates. Maybe it's because we just settle in and get used to that stuff. However, I've seen the complaint stage get reactivated completely, even long after they've settled into that live and let live phase. It's usually triggered when returning from a long trip back in the States, where suddenly they're thrown back into first world efficiency again, and once back in the third world, they're wound up again by what they see and get back into that complaint stage. Believe me, I'm not an exception either. I went through that complaint stage in a big way. I even had logical engineering-type solutions to all those problems. In fact, in the early days, before I learned my Spanish, I spent way too much time thinking about all the things that weren't quite right and just how easy it would be to turn things around. Wondering why normally intelligent Latinos were so thick-headed they couldn't organize or see the solution staring them right in the face. Well, it took a couple of years for me and the learning of Spanish, but I figured it out. It's simple, too. You have to first believe there's a problem before you can come up with a fix for it. For example, a long time ago when I was living in Costa Rica, the power would go off about 3 or 4 times a day sometimes. Maybe for just 5 or 10 minutes at a time, but it was terrifically annoying. Worse yet, on Friday nights, practically every Friday night at around 7 to 8 o'clock at night. The power throughout San Jose, that's the capital city, would die and there'd be a blackout for 3 or 4 hours. Thing is, it was only the gringos who complained. The Costa Ricans never did because they were so used to it. To them, it was normal. It wasn't a problem. Same way, I guess, for farmers in the 30s, 40s, and 50s in the United States. They had outhouses. That's just the way it was. And if a city boy came to visit, it could be a pretty uncomfortable experience, especially in the winter. But the farmers, they didn't complain. They didn't realize any other way. They didn't know it was a problem till some city boy told them it was, that there was an easier, more comfortable way. Anyway, after you've been down here for a while, 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever, things that used to irritate you just won't bother you anymore. Besides that, you'll have created your own little island of comfort in your house, apartment, or yard. Believe me, your apartment or home will be a lot different inside and out than even your upscale Latino neighbors. I guarantee it'll be cleaner, more organized. You'll have better, more natural lighting, your own water purifier. You won't have water stains on the ceilings. There'll be a noticeable absence of critters and cucarachas. If you have a dog, it'll be house-trained and trained not to jump on people or furniture. In short, you'll have transferred a lot of your good first-world habits to your own living conditions. Though that's not always the case, it's pretty common. But unfortunately, you'll probably also have accumulated way too much junk, because like so many other gringos, you're addicted to buying shit on Amazon. Now, that's not to say I haven't been in some gringo expat homes that are disasters. Pure pig pens. Oh, they're around, all right. I've been in some gringo bachelor pads where you had to hold your nose to use the bathroom. Though I've mostly only seen that with gringos living alone who don't have a maid or cleaning lady. And I don't know why, because they're only something like $12 to $20 a day. Go figure, huh? Gringo bachelor pads can be a disaster. And I find older, geezer gringo bachelor pads the worst. And I always wonder when I walk into a place like that, why in Latin America, the land of giant creepy crawlers and cucarachas, do you have 3 days worth of dishes stacked up in the sink? Why in the hell don't you get a cleaning lady just one day a week? But some of these guys, especially old guys, are so stuck in their ways, they just don't ever pull the trigger. Then again, older gringos, especially lovelorn older gringos, can be pretty weak. I know of more than a few cases where a gringo's cleaning lady ends up as his girlfriend or wife. Then you might ask, what about single lady gringas? They've got no such lonely heart opportunities because there are only cleaning ladies, no cleaning boys or men. Wait a minute, how unequal and sexist is that? Come to think of it, sounds like yet another gringo business opportunity.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos!